Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, the publisher of People You Need to Know, Metro Atlanta's premier business spotlight publication, where we promote business professionals who know how to make things happen. For more information, log on to sparkplugpeople.com and discover more people you need to know. Join us every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. as we introduce you to many of the people you need to know in the Metro Atlanta area and beyond. The sponsor of today's program is Kissable, the new health and taste sensation in toothpaste, developed by Dr. Danielle Wilson, president of Premier Dental in Dunwoody, Georgia. Her phone number is 770-642-4711. And we are honored to have as our first guest, Dr. Danielle Wilson herself. Dr. Wilson, welcome to the show.
Hello, Sparkplug. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Dr. Wilson, you were born in Jamaica, Queens, New York. How was it growing up in the big city?
Well, growing up in a big city, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. Kids tend to grow up a little bit more quickly in the city. You have to learn fast how to take care of yourself, and you know, there's always a lot of outside influences that could deter you. But I learned really fast how to, you know, take care of myself. I had to take a bus and a train to school at 12 on my own, and you know, I have my own daughter now, and I really couldn't imagine her having to do all that at 12, but it's really the norm there.
Well, Dr. Wilson, you were raised by your grandparents. Your grandfather was a fireman, and your grandmother was a corrections officer. What's the most important lesson you remember them teaching you about life?
Well, they always stressed the importance of getting an education. That's the main thing that I remember about them. They always made me study. They always said you have to be smart. They wanted me to basically have a better life than what they did. They didn't graduate from college, so they wanted that for me. So that was one of the main things, just
right.
Your education.
Well, you are the oldest of three. Your two younger brothers, what do they do?
Well, I have one brother who's still in high school, and this is his last year. My brother right behind me, who's 6 years younger, he's a real estate developer in Las Vegas.
What kind of real estate development does he do?
He builds small subdivisions and custom homes.
Okay. Well, you wrote that you wanted to become a dentist at the age of 6 years old. What inspires a first grader to yearn to become a dentist?
Well, I have to take that back to my grandparents. They never said, you know, specifically to be a dentist, but they made it very clear that they wanted me to go into some form of medicine, be a doctor. And I was always interested in science, and I had a good experience going to the dentist as a child. And also dentistry allowed me to express a creative side.
Okay. Well, when you were in high school, you were a cheerleader and you ran track. What other activities do you wish you had pursued?
Well, cheerleading and track kept me very busy. I think one thing I regret not doing is maybe doing a team sport like basketball. Track is more like a solo sport. You just run by yourself against other people, but it would have been nice to have the feeling of winning with a group of people.
Sure. What advice would you give kids who are trying to juggle sports and their studies?
Well, the main thing is time management, and you have to remember school does come first, but if you can manage your time, you should be able to juggle both.
What's the best way to manage your time when you're in school?
You have to be able to start your homework and get all your studying done pretty quickly. You know, I have a daughter now who plays golf and plays every day for at least 4 hours, so you have to be able to fit school in there.
Did you take college prep classes in high school?
Oh, yes, I did. You definitely need to be well-versed in science and continue that through college to become a dentist. So I've always been on that dental track.
Well, you know, I read that you were always interested in science. When did you become interested?
In elementary school. That was always my favorite subject. And I had excellent teachers. They always tried to encourage me along with my family.
What was it about science that you loved so much?
That it was hard, and I liked the challenge, actually.
Well, you said that you always like helping people. What is your earliest memory of helping others?
First, I think I started out helping animals. I was always the kid in the neighborhood who brought home the stray dogs and the cats that needed to be fed. And my grandparents thought for sure I was going to grow up and be a veterinarian. As far as helping people, my first volunteer experience happened when I was in college, and I was a mentor at Johns Hopkins Hospital for pregnant teens. My job there was really to assist the physicians with their prenatal care.
Okay. When you were in the 10th grade, you moved from New York to Maryland to live with your aunt and uncle. How was it moving to another state right in the middle of high school?
Well, for me, it was a great experience. I mean, Maryland was just a whole new world. Things were a lot slower. I got to be involved in a lot more activities. And my aunt is like my third mom, really, and it was really wonderful living with her. So it was a great experience.
And you wrote that your aunt was a big influence on your life. How so?
Well, the first thing she taught me how to do was cook, because when I was living in New York, I didn't do too much cooking. My grandmother handled all of that. So she taught me how to cook and be a responsible young lady and taught me how to dress. And she just really showed me how to carry myself like a woman.
Okay. And what were the greatest lessons your uncle taught you in those 2 years you lived with him?
Well, they both taught me about family, and he was a big family man. And we took trips together, and I had two cousins that were younger. So they taught me a lot about family and the importance of being close, and have, we used to sit down for dinner and talk, and we used to each go around and tell about our day. That was the main thing.
When you graduated from high school, you went to Morgan State University. How did you come to choose Morgan State?
Well, I wanted to go to a historically black college, and I also did not want to be too far from home. So Morgan was close to me, and so was Howard, and I took trips to both, and there was just something about Morgan, just being, it really was Baltimore that I liked more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what was the most memorable time for you in college?
Probably graduating.
Well, you received your undergraduate and graduate degrees in physics from mm-hmm. Morgan State University. How difficult was it to attain your degrees in physics, or was it easy for you?
It wasn't easy. It was definitely challenging, but it was challenging in a fun way. I had great teachers there. And one thing about the physics department, it was very small. There were maybe only four of us. So it was really like having your own private tutor at a university, which is very rare.
Okay.
And it was a very good experience.
All right. Well, any other memorable experiences about Morgan State?
Yeah, that's where I got my Fulbright scholarship to
okay.
go study overseas, and I went to New Zealand.
Okay, well, we'll definitely talk about that a little bit more after the break, because we need to take one right now, but we'll be right back with more People You Need to Know on the radio after this.
People You Need to Know. It's time for People You Need to Know. It's time for People You Need to Know on the radio. People You Need to Know. It's time for People You
Listen to People You Need to Know with your host, Spark Plug, Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on WGUN 1010 AM.
Welcome back to People You Need to Know on radio. We're speaking with Dr. Danielle Wilson, the president of Premier Dental in Dunwoody, Georgia. Dr. Wilson, you attended Morgan State University Graduate School on a NASA fellowship. How did the fellowship come about for you?
Well, there's a program that Morgan State has. They have a program that's a joint program with NASA. So they usually set up research projects there, and the students could be involved in that, and they could also possibly get jobs with NASA when they graduate. That was one idea that I thought I may do, but I never went to work for NASA in the end because I wanted to become a dentist.
Okay, so you never thought about getting sidetracked and becoming an astronaut?
I did. You know, I really wanted to, and I thought maybe I'd do dentistry and then go into the NASA program, but it just didn't work out that way. There were you know, after I graduated from dental school, I moved to Atlanta, so the plans changed.
Okay, sometimes they do. Well, Dr. Wilson, you graduated from the University of Maryland Dental School, and after that you spent 10 months studying in New Zealand at the University of Waikato as a Fulbright Scholar. How did you become a Fulbright Scholar?
Well, becoming a Fulbright Scholar is actually a very rigorous selection process. You have to get several recommendations and write an essay on why you want to go to this particular country. And it took actually months. You think it's easy to write an essay, but it actually took months to do that. It just has to be perfect. You're going up against hundreds of other students, and yours has to really stand out and make a statement. So in the end, they did choose me to go there, and I spent 10 months there.
How was the experience living in New Zealand for you?
It was a tremendous experience. You get to experience a different culture and a different way of life. Their diet is different. The city's different. It's just unbelievable. There's also a native population in New Zealand, Waikato. And they're much like our Indians here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a whole different culture. And it was great to experience both.
So what do you remember the most about that beautiful country down under?
I remember there was a lot of sheep. It was a little slow. It was a whole lot slower there than in the United States. And the Indian population that's there, they rub their noses. When they greet you, you have to rub noses. That's their way of greeting. So.
Okay. Well, you know, I know that volunteering is something that is extremely important to you. And early in your career, you volunteered to do dental screenings on a Colgate van in the inner city for children who otherwise may not have received proper dental care. What kind of volunteer work are you currently doing?
I give away a lot of free dentistry now. Kids come here, and I'm part of, you know, the Medicaid and Medicare and Peach Care for Kids program. So that's my volunteer work at the moment.
Okay, well, as a volunteer, you live for 3 weeks on an Indian reservation making dentures for Native Americans. How did that experience change your life, and what did you learn from the Native Americans?
Well, that was quite an experience there. They live very remotely in Arizona, and we were on a college campus. It was a community college, and there was nothing for miles and miles. I mean, the nearest grocery store was like 45 minutes away. And it was really like almost being in a different country. But it was a very rewarding experience, and it was great to give back. They have a lot of dental issues on the Indian reservation. A lot of people lose their teeth quite early, and that's why we were there making dentures for them.
Okay. So what was the main thing that you learned from that experience?
The main thing I learned about them is that they're really treated so unfairly in this country, it seems. Their lack of resources and to be in the United States is really quite sad.
Hmm. Well, you told me that the lowest point in your life was when you lost your birth mother
mm-hmm.
at age 28. What do you remember the most about her, and how did this affect your life?
Well, my mother was like my best friend, like my sister, because I was raised by my grandparents, because my mother was quite young when she had me. She was only 16. So she was more like a sister, my best friend. I could talk to her. So my heart was really broken when I lost her, and there was a big void in my life when she left.
Well, after graduate school, you moved to Atlanta, because you heard that it was the land of opportunity. What do you believe is the best way for one to seize opportunity?
Well, you can't be afraid to take a chance. And I've always been the type of person that will take a risk. I'm never afraid to take a risk. Will put myself out there. You know, not a reckless risk now, but if it makes sense, I'd be willing to do it. And you just have to go out there and just do it. I mean, it's almost that simple. Just do it.
So you founded Premier Dental in the year 2000. Was your dental practice an immediate success, or did you have to struggle for a while?
Well, I struggled for a while. It had to grow, and each year it got better and better, and it just got to a point that I had to move out of my first location, which was like 1,000 square feet, to, you know, a 3,000 square foot facility. So it wasn't always easy. I put in a lot of long hours to try to build the practice. I was working, let's say, 9, 10 hours a day just to build and and be successful. So it's nothing that happens overnight.
So has it been worth the effort for you?
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't have it any other way. I like being in practice for myself. I love my patients. They're like family. Some of them have been with me since a lot of them have been with me since 2000. I've watched the little kids grow up, and they started when they were 3 or 10, and now they're getting ready to go to college, and it's been a rewarding experience.
I heard that you know most of your patients by name. How can you do that with such a growing practice?
Well, it's getting more difficult, but because we now have a patient base of 7,000. So
whoa.
When it was more like 1,000, I could remember everybody. So yeah, I'm also getting a little older, so it's getting tougher to remember, but we do try.
Well, you also have developed a new toothpaste, Kissable,
mm-hmm.
the sponsor of this show, I might add. The new health and taste sensation in toothpaste. Why did you decide to create your own toothpaste line?
Well, I was in the process of, we sell different oral hygiene products out of the office, and I was just unhappy with the one that I was selling. And I said, you know, so I was looking around, I said, you know what, I need to make my own, and I just really wanted something nice for my patients to use that will help them with gum disease and keep their smile bright and their breath fresh. And so I just really brainstormed and sat down and been working on it a couple of years now, just getting the right formulation, and that's how I came up with Kissable.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about your dental practice. What is your specialty?
I love to do cosmetic dentistry. I do all kinds. I treat kids. I treat adults. I do implants, dentures. But the thing I like to do most are doing smile makeovers, taking a person that has a smile that they're very unhappy with and just watch them become a whole new person afterwards is what I really like.
How long is a process like that, the smile makeover?
It could be done in as little as a couple of weeks with 2 visits. One visit is to prepare you for veneers, and the next visit takes about 2 weeks to make the veneers, and then we bond those to the teeth.
Okay. Well, Dr. Wilson, tell everyone how you can be reached.
I can be reached at 770-642-4711.
And what about a website?
My website is premierdentalatlanta.com.
And we all know your BeKissable.com website for your toothpaste.
Yes.
So how old is your daughter now? And does she want to become a dentist?
You know, my daughter's funny, but she's now 15, and she said that she does not want to become a dentist. She wants to actually go into dermatology, and I support her with that.
Let me get back to your dental practice for a second.
Okay.
What's the difference between veneers and bonding?
Well, veneers is a certain type of bonding, but
okay.
It's done with porcelain, and that's the best way to get the aesthetic results. When you bond with composites, over time, composites break down, and they also stain. So they don't last as long, but it's still a very good treatment process, but the porcelain veneers are the best.
Okay. Well, you got married last year.
Mm-hmm.
How has being married changed your life?
Well, you definitely have to learn how to share and give and take and compromise in the relationship. So that's changed my life. It's also given me someone to share my hopes and dreams with, and it's been wonderful.
And your husband is a very successful dentist in the Metro Atlanta area, Dr. Aldis Wilson.
Yes.
And so I hear that he's moving his location into your previous location. How's that going to work out?
It's going to work out quite well because we're totally different. We focus on different things, and a lot of things I used to refer out to other places, like maybe complicated extractions. Those are the things he likes to do.
Okay.
So he's really more into the surgery aspect of dentistry. So it'll work out quite nicely.
Well, and since he'll be right down the street, I'm sure you'll be doing more lunches together.
Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to that.
All right. And just a couple more questions, Doc, and we'll let you go.
Okay.
Where do you go to relax and unwind?
I love going to the islands. Every 3 months, I try to get over there and just relax and unwind a little bit.
Which one in particular?
Well, I've been to quite a few, so one of my favorite ones I would have to say is Providenciales, Turks and Caicos Islands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Dr. Wilson, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
I would say the best advice I've ever been given, it was a dental advice, is to take your time and do your procedures right the first time so you don't have to keep going back and trying to do things over again.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Wilson, for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we'll be right back with more People You Need to Know on radio after these messages.
Listen to People You Need to Know with your host, Spark Plug, Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on WGUN 1010 AM.
Welcome back to People You Need to Know on radio. Our second guest today is a highly respected Metro Atlanta periodontist, Dr. Wilkie Stadiker. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
All right. Dr. Stadiker, you were born in Chicago, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
on June 28, 1966. What do you love today about the Windy City?
What I love most about the Windy City is that it's very vibrant. You know, when I go back and visit, you know, it's full of culture and diversity. It's just a very, very alive city, you know, and I kind of miss that now that I'm living here in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, Dr. Stadiker, you wrote that your parents are both retired from blue-collar jobs. What were their jobs?
Well, they're very, very simple folks, but very, very hardworking. My father actually worked on the trucking docks, and that means he basically drove a forklift and unloaded and loaded trucks. He did that for 30-plus years. And my mother was a nurse's aide. You know, she worked in nursing homes and juvenile homes and hospitals, and she did that for 20-plus years.
Okay. Well, at 4 years old, you knew you wanted to become a dentist. Tell me, Dr. Stadiker, what was it about your neighborhood dentist that inspired you so much?
Well, I went to the dentist when I was 4 years old, and I had this awful pain. Come to find out it was a cavity, but at 4 years old, you don't understand it. I had this awful pain. I went to the dentist. And he basically made me feel better. And I just said, wow, that was amazing. I said, if I could make people feel better when they're in pain, what a great job that would be. And then from that moment on, I decided I wanted to be a dentist.
Well, as a kid, you had a German shepherd named Duke. What was it about Duke that you loved so much?
Well, I guess, you know, as they say, dog is man's best friend. As a kid, he was my best friend. You know, I could spend all my time with him. I would brush his teeth. You know, I ran a lot. I would take him running with me. And he kind of was my best friend. I was a little bit older than my little brother. There was like 5 years between us. So, you know, it takes a while where you guys can really hang out and do things together as children. But he was my best friend. That's what I love so much about him.
All right. Well, I read that you avoid drugs and going down the wrong path by having a good sense of self. How did you develop such a good sense of self?
Well, to be honest with you, sir, it came slowly. Simple things as a child, you'd be amazed, like learning how to spin a jack or learning how to twirl nunchucks or learning how to do some acrobat. Just those simple things told me that I could do whatever I wanted to do or I could accomplish whatever I wanted to accomplish. And that told me that I don't need to be doing things that are going to get me in trouble. I don't need to be doing things that are going to ruin my life. And that's what drugs do. You know, they ruin your life. And so I slowly start figuring about myself out of the simple, you know, simple childish ways. But the more I learned, the more I grew as a child, the more I learned and told myself that I didn't want to go down the path of drugs or violence or crime.
What advice would you give a parent today who's trying to develop a good sense of self in their children?
You gotta spend time with them. You gotta let them, you know, do what they want to do, in a childish way, and whatever it is. If they love puppets, or if they love karate, or if they love, you know, whatever it is, you know, push that with them, and that makes you feel best about yourself. We all have talent. We all have God-given gifts, and so many of us, you know, are pushed in certain ways, like, you know. Boys can't be ballet dancers. And I said, you know, Dr. DeVere, I said something about puppets. You know, people laughed at the creator of Elmo. And, you know, the creator of Elmo was an African-American male. You may know that. People laughed at him because he was a puppeteer and he liked all this. Well, look at them now. You know, one of us would love to be, you know, behind the creator of Muppets, and that's a multi, you know, $100 million business. But the same was with me in science. You know, science is not something we should go into. So parents, you know, get involved and push them in that direction of what they love.
How did your parents encourage you or push you, if you will, in the direction of dentistry after they found out this was something that you wanted to do?
At first was science. You know, I kept dentistry inside of me, and really until I got into high school. You know, as a child, I decided I wanted to do, but it was really science what I loved first, and dentistry, of course, is about science. They took me to the library. They got me involved in science fairs. You know, they brought me microscopes for my birthday, brought me chemistry sets for Christmas, and so they just kept encouraging me. It's what I love. You know, they let me keep my ant collection in the basement. You can imagine an ant collection or my bug collection. You know, they let me do those things, and that's how they let me explore this love for science that I had.
And what are some of the things you do that your parents did for you that you're now transferring to your children?
Those same exact things. During Christmas, you know, I'm much better off than my parents, and I can get lots of things for my kids, but I always get them a science gift or an educational gift. Like last Christmas, I have two lovely young girls. You know, they got all the Barbie dolls and the playhouses and the makeup kits, but they both got a microscope. You know, so just giving them that too, just is trying to get them. And they may not turn out to love science, but I'm just trying to start them early. All of those things, you know, I take them to the learning center. I take them to the library. I let them get involved in academic things in addition to having fun as a child. You know, I don't overwhelm them with that, but I let them get involved.
Okay, well, great. Well, you attended public school and was a two-sport athlete in track and cross-country. Which one was your favorite?
Well, I'd probably say track. You know, track was my favorite, but I was probably better at cross country.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. And the reason why track was my favorite, because you had the crowd and the audience. You know, in cross country, you're not going to have, you know, 10, 15,000 people, you know, sitting out in the cold in October in Chicago watching you run 6 miles. So track was my favorite because it was team, and, you know, we had all the sprinters and the relays and all of that stuff, although I was a better cross country runner than I was a track runner.
Okay, well, you were in the science club. Getting back to science, you were in the science club when you were in high school. How important was that science club for you?
It was essential. Like I said earlier, you know, you gotta, not only do you have to push your child where they need to go, you have to decide inside of yourself, this is who I am. And the science club let me feel it's okay to like science. You know, it's okay to be, quote, a Steve Urkel. It's okay to want to collect leaves, because I was surrounded by people who enjoyed that. And it was just a good way to let that out and say, you know, it's okay. Unfortunately, you know, so many of us in life don't do what we really love. You know, we kind of do what society tells us, or do what the boss man tells us, or do what we feel we need to do. And so Science Club let me be who I wanted to be.
And how important is that for you, doing exactly what you love to do?
It's everything, because all the money in the world can't replace your happiness in doing what you want to do. You know, we seem to think that the more money we have, the happier we're going to be, and that's wrong. It's actually wrong. If I can diverse a little bit, if you look at studies, every year they take studies of people who are 70 and 80 years old, and they ask them, what would you change over in your life? And do you know that make more money is never in the top 20? The number one is, I wish I would have did what I wanted to do. And that's what people ultimately want inside. They want to do what they want to do. They want to be a seamstress. If they want to run a little tea shop, if they want to be a writer, whatever it is, they want to do what they want to do. But unfortunately, you know, we don't want to take the chance. We're afraid. People tell us it's foolish. You know, science is foolish in this society, unfortunately. The science geek or the science nerd, that's not what you're supposed to be.
Well, do you think that pretty much that type of attitude contributes to why in the United States, a lot of the high school students lag behind internationally in science?
Yes, sir. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because everyone's trying to conform, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying your whole life as a child should be full of science experiments and reading 10,000-page books. But, yes, we have such a culture, unfortunately, in this country that takes us that it's all about fun. You know, it's all about pizzazz. It's all about swagger. And, yes, that's why I think we lag behind. And, unfortunately, if you look at the people who are the most successful in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, it's the people who are in the core, you know, whether it's English or communications or science or math, It's the people who are involved in those things. It was not the people who are 19, 20, 25, you know, being cool and looking slick and all of this stuff. So it's really a trap.
Hmm. Well, let's change gears a little bit here. You attended a small, diverse school in Illinois called Augustana College.
Correct.
How important is diversity to you today?
Oh, it's very, very, very important. You know, you know, whether you want to accept it, we live in a diverse world, and I deal with diverse patients. I deal with, you know, folks in the dental field, whether it's dental administrators or insurance folks, and everyone's from all walks of life. It's a lot easier for me to deal with people. And I'm not saying that you need to, okay, if you want to go to a African-American college or something like that, you shouldn't do that. But you're going to have to deal with diversity one day in your life. And it just makes my life so much easier because when people walk in my office, ultimately they want to feel comfortable. And I think my background makes them feel comfortable, no matter who they are.
Well, how did you find out about Augustana College anyway?
Now, believe it or not, I kind of joke. I'll give you the joke. The joking way. The joking way was I opened the college book, and it was the first one in the book. So that's what I chose because it is the first one in the book. But no, the real way was through sports, believe it or not. A lot of schools were contacting me through my senior year, and I went to visit different schools, lots of schools in Illinois, you know, smaller schools. And I went to Augustana. I just loved it. I loved the environment. You know, I got to visit the other athletes there. I got involved in some of the African-American societies there, and I just felt it was a great school, and I just felt it was a place for me.
While you were there, you ran track and cross-country, and you also received 7 NCAA letters for your participation. How were you able to juggle sports and academics so successfully?
Believe it or not, a few quarters in school, I should have had 8. Believe it or not, I should have had 8 letters, but, you know, a few quarters in school, I got so busy with experiments or traveling, I wasn't able to fulfill my athletic commitment. When I was involved in athletics, I was far more disciplined. I was far more determined. I was far more better at organizing my life. And so that sport let me organize my life better. So it wasn't that difficult. It's when you have all this free time, you tend to not, you know, focus on anything. You know, you'd be amazed at how you can learn when you gotta. Okay, I know I gotta finish this by 10. I gotta do that by 11. You'd be amazed. So I just found it easier.
Okay. Well, what was the highlight of your athletic career at Augustana College?
Well, the highlight. You know, every athlete's dream, whether it's you're a boxer or you name it, a track star, or is to be in the championship or to fight for the title. On my senior year, our team made it to the NCAA championship meet. And that was incredible. It was in St. Louis, Missouri, and basically that meant our team, we were some of the elite runners in the United States. And just running in that meet, participating in that meet, was just an incredible experience. Very, 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 very fulfilling.
And you wrote that your saddest moment was leaving Augustana College. Why is that?
Isn't that funny? You know, it was like my family. I think as a young person, you go through lots of really stressful times. I think one time is leaving high school. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to the military? Am I going to go to tech school? Another time is finishing college. You know, you built up all of the success in college, you know, star athlete, finished your major, got accepted to dental school, and then you got to leave it. You got to leave everything behind and go into uncertainty. And so it was very sad for me because I enjoyed the school. I enjoyed my instructors, I enjoyed my coaches, but you got to move on.
I guess that's a good metaphor for life. Well, we need to take a break right now, but we'll be right back with more People You Need to Know on the radio.
People you need to know. It's time for People You Need to Know. It's time for People You Need to Know on the radio.
Listen to People You Need to Know with your host, Spark Plug, Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on WGUN 1010 AM.
Welcome back to People You Need to Know on radio. We're speaking with Dr. Wilkie Stadiker, a highly respected periodontist in Metro Atlanta. Dr. Stadiker, after graduating from Augustana College, you then attended Northwestern Dental School. Tell me about your experience there, and what did you like most about it?
My experience in dental school was wonderful. I mean, it's a fine university. I feel like I have one of the best dental education in the world. What I liked most about dental school was helping people. Dental schools traditionally treat retired people, people at the low income of the spectrum, and that's because you go to a dental school to get a filling, it's going to take 4 hours. You know, the average professional like yourself or some of these other hardworking parents out there, they can't spend 4 hours to get one filling done. So the dental school, basically, the fees are low, and we traditionally attract lower income retired folks. And just helping those people was very, very, very rewarding.
Well, while at Northwestern, you received a U.S. military dental scholarship. In exchange, you served 3 years in the U.S. Army as a dental officer. What was that like?
Well, it was quite amazing. You know, being a part of U.S. military, as any former military soldier or officer can tell you, was amazing. Experience, you can imagine, in the military. In my private practice now, I may treat 500 to 600 patients a year. I probably treated 500 to 600 patients a month in the Army. So it's just a phenomenal experience. It really gets your confidence up. You know, you don't have to worry about things about malpractice and overhead and bills, things like that. So it was a phenomenal experience for me. I'm really, really glad I did it. Now when people walk into my office and they knew I was a former U.S. Army dentist, it gives me more credibility.
Sure. Well, after your military career, you attended the University of Alabama at Birmingham and obtained a specialty certificate in periodontics. What made you choose this area of practice in dentistry?
Well, as I said earlier, I always had a love for science. Periodontics is a real science-based specialty. Periodontics is the practice of gum disease or treating gum infections. And when one has a gum infection, there's bacteria involved, there's the immune system involved, you know, there's different types of drugs involved. And so since I love science so much and I love that aspect of science, going into periodontics was only natural for me. As opposed to cosmetics. You know, cosmetics are kind of dentists who are more artsy, you know, kind of the sculptor types, things like that. I really appreciate kind of the blood and gut science of it, if we could say that.
Okay, well, after graduating from UAB, you moved to Marietta, Georgia, a suburb of metro Atlanta, to open up your private practice. As a periodontist, what exactly do you do? And I think you kind of answered that, but you can add on to it if
right,
you like.
No, no problem. It's important. Well, periodontal disease is basically an infection of your gums, and I treat that. There's lots of ways you can treat it. We generally try to treat it non-surgically. If that doesn't work, then we surgically treat it. We either cut the infection out or we add bone to try to replace it. We also do, and I didn't touch on this early, things called dental implants. Now, dental implants are really big and really become popular, and that's basically a transplant, basically an artificial tooth. We take a metal or a titanium tooth, place it down in your bone to replace your missing tooth. So it's a pretty dynamic field, and it's a really, really growing field. Implants are going to be one of the hot things in dentistry in the coming years.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it true that periodontitis affects more than 50 million Americans?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, it is. It is a very, very unfortunate, very, very prevalent disease. And the bad part about gum disease or periodontitis is out of sight, out of mind. You know, it doesn't really rear its head until you're in pain. It's kind of like termites. You know, you can let termites go a long time if you had them in your house until your house falls down. The best thing you can do is see a dentist regularly. Have your cleanings regularly, see a dentist regularly, and get checked. And if you found out that you have it treated as soon as possible.
Now, if some people go untreated with this periodontitis, what can happen then?
Well, basically, you're going to lose your teeth. That's the long and short of it. In addition to that, what the research is showing now, all this bacteria or this infection in your gum actually seeps into your bloodstream. It seeps into your bloodstream and basically causes blood poisoning, if I can be basic. It infects the heart. It infects the brain. It makes diabetes worse. It even affects women who are having babies. It affects the weight of their babies. It affects the, you know, how long they can carry the baby. It causes lots and lots of problems, so it's not something you want to let go.
What are some of the common signs of gum disease?
Probably the most common sign is bad breath. Unfortunately, once the bacteria gets below your gums, they cause an infection, bad breath. Loose teeth, if your teeth are moving, blood. Your teeth should not bleed. You know, there's all these rumors or myths that if you brush your teeth and they bleed, they're getting stronger. No, no, they should not be discolored gums. Gums are looking black and blue and kind of this, you know, this cyanotic, as we call it, kind of this grayish-looking appearance. That's not good.
Does gum disease pose any kind of special risk for people with diabetes?
Oh, yes. Major risk. Unfortunately, to be as simple as possible, diabetics have a lot of extra sugar floating around in their bloodstream. Well, that sugar basically feeds the bacteria. So it's kind of like a cyclic system. The more diabetes, the more sugar. The more sugar, the more bacteria. The more bacteria, the more gum disease. And it just kind of is a vicious, vicious cycle. So people particularly who are diabetic, have high blood pressure, arthritis, really need to stay on top of their dental care.
Okay. Well, I also hear that you dabble in inventions a little bit. So are you working on anything that you would like to share with our listening audience?
Yes. I'm working, and I would say working with a capital W. You really have to respect people like Thomas Edison or Alexander Graham Bell, because now that I've started doing inventions and start dabbling in, I'm amazed the amount of persistence and energy it takes. I received a patent a couple of years ago basically on a new prophy angle. To make a long story short, a prophy angle is something the dentist or hygienist uses to clean your teeth once you're in the office for cleaning. It's a little bitty instrument, and you basically roll around the tooth, kind of like a car wash. Well, I've invented one that has a prophy paste inside of it. And if I can get this to the market, it would be incredible for the field, although I'm still in development stages, and it's just very expensive and very, very time-consuming.
If all your stars line up, mm-hmm. when are you hoping to have it to the market?
If all my stars line up, I'd say 6 months to a year. By this time next year, if all my stars lined up, I could have this on the market, and it would be a tremendous, tremendous help to dentists. Speed and the time you spend during cleanings would be drastically reduced. So that's what I got my fingers crossed for.
Well, Dr. Statiker, tell us about some of the public speaking that you do for dental groups and dental hygiene schools.
Well, like I said earlier, I was motivated by helping people. I was motivated as a child to help people. And what I do to, quote, give back, I lecture to churches. You may know lots of churches have medical days or kind of fitness days or health care days. I show up to these churches and lecture on gum disease and gum infections. I lecture to dental hygiene schools, you know, helping these students learn dentistry properly. I also lecture to study groups. And most of the time I do it for no charge because this is how I feel I give back. And it's very, very, very rewarding.
Dr. Statiker, how can you be reached?
Well, the simplest way is just to call my office. That's area code 678-354-5119. I also am one of these people who check their email all the time, and I can be reached at Perio Wilk. I'm a periodontist, so that's PERIOWILK, and that's at AOL.com.
Okay, and you have a website also?
Yes, sir, and it's wilkystatiker.com or drstatiker.com. It's a Perio dental website.
Well, Dr. Statiker, you're such a busy guy. Let me ask you this question. Where do you go to relax and unwind, or what do you do?
I enjoy the beach, believe it or not. We're very, very fortunate in Georgia. I don't know how many people take advantage of it, but we have a whole coast. You know, Savannah and Bishop Island, Cumberland Island, those areas are incredible. At least once or twice a year, me and my family go to Amelia Island. And we rent boats and do snorkeling and just hang on the beach.
And what makes a high-powered doctor like you laugh?
Believe lots of things. I mean, I enjoy a joke just like an average person. But probably the biggest thing is just watching my kids grow and learn, and all the little funny, entertaining things that they do. It really keeps me laughing.
So, what do you wish you had known 20 years ago, Dr. Statiker?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is that life goes in small steps. I think we get so caught up in, you know, what's the one big thing I need to do to, you know, get this job or get this XYZ. And ironically, it's not like that. Rarely is there one thing you need to do to be successful. And that shouldn't discourage people, because you want to take your time in being successful. You know, you want to slowly go to school. You know, you want to slowly start off at an entry-level job and learn the ropes. So when you finally do get that success, you can handle it. So life occurs slowly, and we can take small steps. I'm not saying it's going to take 20 years, but small steps may take you 2 to 3 years. You know, unfortunately, you see in the media today, these people have incredible amount of wealth, and look what happens to them. Aren't you amazed by the decisions some of these people make with these incredible millions and millions of dollars?
Sure.
And my theory, sir, is that they didn't take small steps to get to where they were. It was just wham, and you got it, and then you don't have it.
Would you also say that's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, yes, yes. And I was given that, you know, running and being an athlete and all forms of athleticism. There's a lot more practices in there. There's a lot more games or a lot more play. Yes, that was the best advice. You know, I will run 60, 70 miles a week for 2-3 months just to run in one marathon or one half marathon. So, you know, you have a meet for 2 hours or an hour, but yet you practice for 3 months. Yes, that's the best advice. Life occurs, or success occurs, one small step at a time.
All right. Well, Dr. Stadaker, I'd like to thank you for being with us today.
Okay.
Well, the sponsor of today's program is Kissable, the new health and taste sensation in toothpaste developed by Dr. Danielle Wilson, the president of Premier Dental in Dunwoody, 770-642-4711. And I'd like to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in to People You Need to Know on radio. Join us again next week. And until then, always remember that you could add a spark to whatever you do. And for more information about our guests, log on to sparkplugpeople.com.